Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and I'm Jennifer. And today we are in Lesson 2, Day 6. We'll be beginning Chapter 2 of Acts. So exciting. I'm really glad that you're with me. What are you up to today? Are you doing your Bible study with a friend? Are you just listening along on your own? What do you do? Like, do you listen in the morning? Do you listen in the evening? What's your regular routine? I would love to know what that looks like for you. Whenever my friend or a family member moves into a new city, a new area, and takes on a new job, you know what I love to do? I love getting pictures of where they're working or what their new house looks like or their new apartment or condo or whatever, because it helps me picture them and think about them and where they're at. And honestly, I feel like I do the same thing with you guys. I want to know, what is it like for you? It helps me to think about you and pray for you and just feel, again, connected like I was sharing yesterday. So glad that you are here, and I'm looking forward to getting into today's lesson with you. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Take a deep breath. Thank God for our time together and just set our mind on Him and for our time together, that we would be focused no matter what else is going on, that we would be focused on Him. So let's go ahead and do that right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the power of your word, and that we can come to you, we can read and be encouraged, we can read and be challenged, we can read and just see you. And we just lay this time before you right now. I thank you for everyone here in this Bible study time together, whether listening on Facebook or YouTube, the podcast, wherever it is. We're all just together here to be with you, God. And so as we join hands through technology across the screen here to be together, we also want to join our heart and our mind with you and to invite you into our time together. So that's what we do right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let me go ahead and share screen with you. And there we go. Hi. So again, lesson 2, day 6, and as always, we begin with the write the word. Oh, and I forgot to take a picture. I told you I was going to take a picture. All right. You guys need to send me another reminder. Thank you for sending me the reminders you have already. Thank you for that. And today, hopefully after I finish this, I will just march right upstairs, take pictures, and send them right to you. Maybe I should write myself a reminder right now to do that. Oh, all right. Kind of woke up with a kink in my neck today. Okay. Let's take a look at Acts 1:8, memorize and meditate. We'll be writing Acts 2:37, and we'll be reading the first 13 verses of Acts chapter 2. So I've got those called up here on the screen. Let's just go through those one at a time. Our memory verse, which I'm getting a little better at, and I know if I do my post-it notes, it'll really help. So don't forget to remind me again, and I'll share a picture. Don't forget to share your picture. If you haven't already done that, I want to see those, so make sure you do that as well. All right, so Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8. Oh, I think I'm almost there. Maybe tomorrow will be my day to be able to say it without looking at all. You're writing one verse today. Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? This is Acts 2:37. Just pause right now. Pause right now in this video, in this recording, and write that in the back of your page. I'll wait for you. Go ahead and do that. I'll take a drink of water. Lucy, come here. Just fussing about something. All right. You back? I am. I had my water. All right. And Acts 2:1-13. Here we go. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they're filled with new wine. All right. And again, another powerful passage today as we're reading. Now, our passage today begins with a reference to a feast day, a holy feast day on the Jewish calendar. And how come sometimes when I select it, all right, delete all that. Let's see. I just want to select the word Pentecost. Sometimes it seems to let me select it and other times it doesn't. For crying out loud. It must be something in the way that the Bible Gateway program works. Anyway, point being, Pentecost. That's what I wanted you to see. And we're going to take a look at that, understand that a little better. I gave you this as a tip in our opening lesson one. I gave you tips every day. And those tips apply now. Maybe next lesson I'll throw some more tips in there for you. But one of the tips I said was make sure you understand the context of the fact that we're reading a primarily Jewish document and that you know, we need to understand their culture to understand what we're reading. And this is part of it. So when the day of Pentecost arrived, Pentecost, what is that? We as Christians, if you've raised in Christianity, gone to church, did your Sunday school lessons, been to church and whatnot, you are associating Pentecost. My mind would tell me, my guess would be you're associating it with this moment, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire, the speaking in other tongues and languages. All right. But what was the Pentecost for them? What would they have seen? Well, that's over in Leviticus chapter 23, all the way back there. You're going to read about that. And then you're going to be writing in and filling in the headings for each of the feasts of the Lord, each feast of the Lord in the following passages. We're just going to skim the headings of Leviticus. You can read the entire chapter word for word and get the concept, but I want to just skim through and understand what we're seeing here. So let's go ahead and get the scripture called up again so you can see that. There we go. So we open with the Sabbath. The Sabbath, 6 days work will be done. And the seventh, the Sabbath is a solemn rest. The next is called the Passover. Fill that in. That's from Leviticus 23, 4 through 8, the Passover, or just Passover. After Passover, and by the way, these do go in chronological or calendar order. In other words, the very first one on the calendar to occur is, well, Passover. It is the Sabbath. I mean, Sabbath happens all the time because it happens every single week, but the rest of these happen annually. So first is Sabbath. That happens Friday at sundown, like we talked yesterday, Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown, our Friday and Saturday. On the Jewish calendar, do you know how what they call their days of the week? They call it like this: first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day. All right. So the Sabbath is 6 days, work is done, and the seventh is the Sabbath, and that's the day of solemn rest. Okay, the rest of these happen annually, Passover, and maybe you've participated in Passover, and I'd like to give you a save the date right now already for this coming Passover, which will be in April. You can look it up real quick, but it's on my calendar. I just forgot what it is off the top of my head. Anyway, I do a Passover meal pretty much every year. Last year, my mom passed away, so I had too much going on to do it last year, which was sad to miss. But this year, I'm looking forward to doing it again, and you are officially invited. If you want to know more about Passover, join me for that. It's a very special gathering, and I am serious. You are invited. If you want to come, you're hearing my voice right now, you're invited to come. So send me a message, and I'll get you on the list for that. It always fills up, and I run out of space. Anyway, Passover. Next is the Feast of First Fruits. Next, the Feast of Weeks. Write these down. If I'm going too fast, just slow me down, pause and write them down, or you can just do it on your own. Next is Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23, 26 through 32 is the Day of Atonement. We switch to a day instead of a feast. Feast lasts longer. And then we have this Day of Atonement. It's also not a feast day because it's actually a fasting day. Then we have the Feast of Booths. And finally, the Feast of, Feast of Booths, and Feast of Booths. Okay, so as you're looking through all of that, you're like, well, where is Pentecost? don't even say Pentecost. It's because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament primarily in Greek. Pentecost is the Greek term for this Feast of Weeks, which culminates on the 50th day after Passover. Again, Hebrew is Feast of this and that. This isn't actually the Hebrew. The Hebrew is actually Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. Weeks is Shavuot. Anyway, that's more information than you needed probably. But if you enjoy it, do a Google search, find out more, or come to the lesson. I'll be teaching more about it. All right, so describe what the disciples saw and what they heard. Well, we go back to Acts 2. And clicking, there we go. I have two screens going. And so sometimes I glance up and I see my other screen and I try to scroll and I can't scroll it really well. All right, so describe what they saw and heard. Well, in Acts 2, what they heard was they hear a sound as if it was like a rushing wind. So be careful. This doesn't mean that they literally heard a rushing wind. It says they heard a sound like, and Luke is very clear in his language, like a rushing wind. All right, so what did they see? Well, they saw tongues as of fire. So it wasn't literally tongues, it's a figure of speech. Tongues as of fire appearing and resting on each one of them. My goodness, that must have been insane to see and witness this. Oh my gosh, if only we could have been there, right? It would have been neat. All right, Acts 2:4. And what else did they hear in Acts 2:4? They heard one another speak in other tongues. On what feast day did this moment occur? Well, this is Acts 2:1, and it's the Feast of Pentecost. And get almost all the vowels of the alphabet in that word, Pentecost, by the way. So this Feast of Pentecost occurs there. And on this, how is this moment a fulfillment of Jesus' promise in Acts 1:8? What emotional impact do you think this would have had on them? Okay, so that's a simple and then a more challenging question to ask you. The simple is you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Boom. It's a fulfillment. And if you remember, Luke writes about this back when Jesus is giving them the what we call the Great Commission, sending them out before his ascension. And he says, you will be clothed with power from on high. So this is that moment they're getting clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. So what emotional impact do you think this would have had on them emotionally? How are they feeling in this moment? I want us to go there. Remember, these are the types of questions that I write to get us not just to think linear and left brain, but to also bring in that right brain and also try to enter in to this moment and feel what they're thinking. I want to hear from you then, of course, on this. I mean, I can certainly share my thoughts here, but I really want to hear from you. You tell me what you're thinking on this moment. Number five. So pause and write. I'll take a drink of water while you pause and come back to me. Hold on. All right. Are you back? Welcome back. So how, let's see, where are we now? Number five. How does Luke describe the men who were in Jerusalem at this time? Well, back in chapter 2, verse 5, very simple. He says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men. Devout. Well, he does the whole thing again. I have no idea why it does that. Oh, well, devout. That's how he describes them. Why were there men? Go back to the question so you can see it. Why were there men from every nation under heaven? Why does Luke say that? Why were there men there in Jerusalem at this time? I'll give you a hint. Did you read the article on the previous page? Aha! Remember we went through these yesterday? All right. So I wrote an article for you about casting lots. Have you read that yet? Please do. And here's understanding the Jewish holy days. Here we go. If I said that our family got together on Christmas Day, you'd have a quick picture in your mind of what that might look like. Tree, traditional foods, music and family all together. Just thinking of Christmas brings to your mind the memories with all of its sights and sounds and even smells, doesn't it? Well, naming a Jewish holy day would do the same for any observant Jew. Chapter 2 opens with the day of Pentecost, right? And any Jew would immediately know what that meant. Do you? Read here to understand more. So after God had given the Ten Commandments to his people through Moses, maybe you've seen the movie, maybe you've read the scripture, the Ten Commandments, or perhaps the great cartoon version of it called The Prince of Egypt. Highly recommend you watch that. I believe it is still available on Netflix. And I know Ten Commandments is available on Amazon Prime. Anyway, after God had given them the Ten Commandments to his people through Moses, and they were all still gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, God gave them seven celebrations to observe. This is all recorded in Leviticus 23. We just read that. Each of these celebrations or feasts has a prophetic connection to God's amazing plan of redemption from the crucifixion all the way through the ultimate coming of the kingdom of God. What does this have to do with Pentecost? Pentecost is the Greek word for the Jewish holy day of Shavuot, Hebrew for weeks, or as you will see in Leviticus 23, which we did earlier, good job, the Feast of Weeks, which took place 50 days after Passover. See, I knew I got that wrong. I reported the other day, silly me. The holy day is one of these three sojourn feasts where all who were able were required to return to Jerusalem. This city would have been filled to 50 times its normal capacity or occupancy during the feast. Devout Jews, men and even women and children, gathered in Jerusalem every year during Pentecost or Shavuot or Feast of Weeks. Jesus was crucified on Passover, fulfilling this feast day, and 50 days later, as the Jews were observing Shavuot, he fulfilled this feast day as well. So go back to Leviticus and you will see every single one of those feast days has been fulfilled up to the Feast of Weeks, which means the remaining feast days left are to be redeemed and connected to Christ's second coming. All right. I find that fascinating. I hope you do too. So where are the men from every nation? Why are they there? They're there because it's a sojourn feast. In other words, on Christmas, Thanksgiving, we even sing the song, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. But as Christians, we don't have a requirement to sojourn to a religious place to honor God. We might travel, we might not. In Jewish holy days, where we get our English word holiday, holy day, holiday, in Jewish teaching and God's word to the Jews, his special called out people, he says, these three are sojourn days. You need to get to Jerusalem. And so they would. And those who were able to do. And many today devout Jews from all over the world still on those days try to get to Jerusalem. Now, there has been what's called a diaspora or a spreading out of the Jews. I don't know if we're going to talk about that too much right now. I guess a little bit we will. Not now, but I mean in another one of our lessons coming up. But now that they are in the diaspora, that requirement has not been kept for a variety of reasons, one of which is because in AD 70, the temple was destroyed. And so there's no temple to go back to in Jerusalem. So people celebrate in homes now. They don't have that compulsion to go back. Kind of like the Muslims go to Mecca. And other religions have their holy pilgrimages. This is what this is. Okay, so what point do you think Luke is making by naming all the people groups and nations that were present? What do you think? Why do you think he took the time to list all of it out? I'd be curious your thoughts on that. So make sure you drop those in. As usual on the personal opinion questions, I prefer to ask you and have you answer rather than me sharing my answers with you. So how did the people respond to this miraculous sound? Luke actually records two distinct responses. He says it in Luke 2, 6 through 12, and he says it again in 13. So he says they were bewildered. He says they were amazed. He says they were astonished and perplexed. So let's take a look at what else he says, though, in chapter 2, verse 13. All were amazed, perplexed, saying to another, and up here bewildered, and over here astonished. What does it mean? Verse 13, though, others mocking was their response. They were mocking. I'm going to go ahead and copy that and jot that into the lesson as well. I think I just copied that part. Oh, I thought I copied it. Let me try that again. I thought I copied and pasted that portion. Maybe it won't let me. Let's find out. technology if it'll cooperate with me or not. We can have this just up twice. There we go. Others mocking said they're filled with new wine. It let me. All right. And then finally, number 9, what did they all want to know about what was going on? What did they say? Verse 12. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? They all just want to know what's going on. That's simple. Simple enough answer there. Okay. You know, what I want you to do is go back through and read the article on casting lots that I wrote on the previous page. So if you haven't already done that, take a moment to do that on your own and then leave a comment reflecting back on yesterday's lesson after you've read that about what it meant to cast lots and if you would do it and anything that you found interesting about the idea of casting lots. Because the article I wrote there wasn't just about casting lots. It's about two concepts in the word that I mentioned in the last message, prescriptive versus descriptive writing. So I'd really like you to read that and we'll talk about it another day a little bit more. But for now, you go ahead and leave your thoughts and comments on that. Thank you so much for being here with me on today's lesson. Don't forget to leave a comment. And if you do, once again, I'm going to enter your name into a drawing for a really cool prize the next time we get together for Bible study. That includes everybody who comes on Tuesday and everybody who comes on Wednesday. I'll have two cool prizes for those days. Why not? Well, you know what? You know what my mom used to say? You reward what you want repeated. You know what I want repeated? Engagement, community, comments. I want to reward and thank you for that. So that's just a fun way to do it. All right. Thanks again for being here with me today. As always, it's a wonderful time together. And as always, I look forward to being with you again and know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.